the absolute gall and audacity. I have to be returning to the podcasting world almost 18 months after I decided to just up and leave without saying bye. I recognize my faults and I just need you to forgive me. Welcome to Lost in the Source. I am your host, Lola. And as you heard in the intro, I am sorry, man. I'm so, so sorry. I became Casper and I just ghosted. I didn't leave anything by way of explanation. I just left. But I'll explain right now. So last year, I was doing the podcast and it was going well. And I also run a nonprofit called Black Girl Tech, which I was running at the time. And at the time, I also had a full-time job and was fully employed as an engineer. That's a lot of things to be doing. The nonprofit in itself is like a full-time job. So it's pretty much like two full-time jobs and this podcast and my actual just regular life. That got to be a lot for me. So I decided to reprioritize and ditch the podcast and focus on the other things. Black Girl Tech was kind of booming at the time. We were doing more events with larger numbers and it was just like, you know, getting a lot of traction. So I just decided to focus my attention on that as a side project, as a side hustle kind of thing. And I knew I could always come back to this podcast. A few people definitely hit me up in that time to be like, where's the next episode? When are we going to hear something else? Shout out Dan. And here it is. This is the next episode. Saying that things are going to change. If you heard the last, let's call it season. If you heard the last season, you will know that I was coming from a vibe of here's my experience in the industry, in the source. And here are the things I've dealt with. Here are the things I've learned. And here are the things I have to kind of share with you. It's still going to be a bit of that. It's also going to be a bit of tech news. Sometimes if I see something interesting in the news, we'll see how it goes. And it will also be a bit of explaining technical concepts. So for example, if you don't know what a front end or a back end engineer is, I will explain that. If you don't know what UI or UX is, I will explain that. And et cetera, et cetera, right? So that's pretty much what we're going to do. So let's go to the ads and then we'll get straight into this. This podcast is sponsored by Black Girl Tech. Black Girl Tech is a non-profit that aims to help to diversify the tech industry, emphasis on help. And the way they do that is by offering free monthly workshops for Black women and non-binary people, as well as scholarships and much, much more. There will be more coming out at the end of 2018, early 2019, so keep your eyes peeled. You can check out Black Girl Tech on the web, blackgirl.tech in your little address bar up there. You can check out Black Girl Tech on Twitter, at Black Girl Tech, and on Facebook, Black Girl Tech. All right, so I'm going to get into the main topic today, and I am going to be talking about the dreaded imposter syndrome, right? I think I was scheduled to do this episode for episode 2, but after the last few months I've had, particularly the last few weeks I've had, I just kind of felt like this is a timely discussion. So I'm just going to get comfortable. I have my water.
I'm comfortable.
So let's get into today's topic, imposter syndrome. The dreaded imposter syndrome. It's like when you become an engineer, yeah? When you receive that first paycheck, it's like you're also acknowledging you have to sign terms and conditions. You have to tick the checkbox that says, I agree to the terms and conditions. And the terms and conditions are, you will have imposter syndrome for the rest of your life. That is just, that's it. That's just what comes with the territory. You want to become an engineer? Okay, get comfortable feeling like an imposter. Get comfortable feeling like you're going to be found out, like you're not the smartest person in the world, which you're not, of course. But, you know, just get comfortable with that fact and that reality. And something I've noticed just by reading things online, looking at people's tweets and stuff, is that this feeling is definitely, it happens to everybody. But this feeling seems to be so much more impacted amongst minority groups in the industry, whether that's LGBT people, whether that's black people, whether that's women, whether that's black women and everybody else that like has an intersection somewhere, whether that's people with disabilities, if you're a minority in this industry, yeah, it seems to be a much more impacted thing. For me personally, I have dealt with it since I started learning how to code. I am one of those people, yeah, who at school, I didn't have to try to be good. You know, like I knew that I could do the bare minimum and get more than decent grades. I knew that if I didn't do the bare minimum, that's the only reason I would fail. So when I, you know, would get grades that were lower, I'd just be like, oh yeah, duh, I literally did not do anything. I wrote my name on the exam paper and that was it, you know. Cue, like, going to college, things changed. Like, things got so real in college. I flopped everything in college, but I also knew that I did not try in college. So although I flopped, it was kind of like, okay, well, I didn't really try, so it's fine. And I got to uni, started trying again. And again, by trying again, it wasn't even like trying, but, you know, doing the bare minimum again. And I was cool. So when I started to learn how to code, I started to learn how to code by myself. And my introduction to it was through Codecademy. And it was fine. When I was by myself, it was going great, you know. I would do the little tutorials. I would learn a thing. I'd be like, oh, wow, okay. You're going to be black now, okay. Background blue, woo. H1, H2, you know, you just get gassed. You get excited. And it's difficult, but it's not so difficult that it's incomprehensible. Well, it wasn't so difficult to me that it was incomprehensible. And then I came off of Codecademy and it was like, oh no, but why aren't you turning blue now? Why is the H1 not doing what the H1 is supposed to do now? And at that point I thought, okay, let me go and do a boot camp. Now, a boot camp is a very, very intense course. It's usually over the space of 12 weeks. And you're just learning how to code nonstop for those 12 weeks. And the idea is that after the 12 weeks, you are an engineer. So they're saying in 3 months, we can turn you from a non-engineer to a highly qualified engineer. Yeah, you don't have to do computer science. You don't have to go to uni. Just give us 3 months. The first 4 weeks of that 3 months, I was failing. I was failing everything. There was nothing that I was passing. And this was so unusual to me because, as I said, like, when I try, I get grades, I see results, do you know what I mean? And now I'm trying and I'm not seeing those grades, I'm not seeing those results. And I realized that it was true for everyone else around me. Like, everyone was pretty much, like, not doing well. And then, you know, you start to support each other and you start to help each other and it's like, okay, now we're all succeeding. And I think that was my first introduction to imposter syndrome, because even though I was succeeding, there was still an element of, what if I get found out? Like, I found it so hard in the beginning and the only reason I'm succeeding is because other people are helping me. Maybe I'm not really understanding it. My thing is not as good as their thing, etc., etc. And it didn't help that my experience at bootcamp was very much tainted. You know, I was the only one, for example, who didn't get a job at the end of it. And according to my tutor at the time, it was kind of like, your portfolio is amazing. You're interviewing very, very well. So we don't know why. So, you know, that helped to make the imposter syndrome worse. You know, like, I'm the only black woman on the course and I'm also the only one who's not going on to full-time roles, even though supposedly my portfolio is fine, amazing, quote unquote, and even though I'm interviewing really well. So, you know, fast forward to my first job, and my first job, I was hired as a Ruby engineer, and I did not touch Ruby. For the 8 months that I was there, I probably touched Ruby like twice, and that did not help to make me feel any better. I was made to do front-end work, mainly HTML, CSS with a bit of JavaScript, a bit of jQuery. But I wanted to be a back-end engineer, or at least I wanted to get experience in those back-end skills. So it just kind of made me feel like, oh, wow, I'm not even good. They've hired me as a Ruby engineer. Maybe they realize that I'm not even good enough to do Ruby work, right? By the way, there was a code test and I did most of the code test, and the bit that I couldn't do, I did with my employee in his office. But while I was there, actually, like, my first day was not on Ruby work, even though they built stuff in Ruby. Fast forward to my second job. They hired me for a full stack role. The code test was in CSS, and that should have been a clue to me that, okay, maybe they're not gonna let me do backend work here. But I didn't, at the time, I just didn't think. And it was the same thing, you know, like, they, my actual boss was just like, I'm too ambitious. Well, he accused me of being too ambitious and that I needed to calm down, because I was asking for, like, oh, can I shadow, can I pair program with someone who's doing Ruby? And all of these things, right, all of these things that people tell you're being too ambitious, you need to calm down, you need to enjoy being a junior, you need to do this, you need to do that, didn't help my imposter syndrome. It just made me continue to feel like I'm not supposed to be here. No one even recognizes that I can do the thing. Maybe it's because I can't actually do the thing. Maybe the reason they're not recognizing, or the reason I'm not given the opportunity to, like, do what I want to do, is because I can't do it. And that's how I felt most of the time. And in my second job, it got really, really bad, because I had to get, like, panic attacks and all of this stuff. And there was a lot of other stuff going on in that second job. But, you know, a lot of it was also this imposter syndrome feeling, and just feeling like I didn't belong and I shouldn't be here. That's the key. It's not just that you don't belong, but that you don't belong and you shouldn't be here. It was in that job that I decided to get a mentor, because I was kind of like, you know what, I don't want to be here not getting the skills that I want to get for a very long time. So I'm going to get a mentor, and we're going to, like, code outside of work, and I'm going to get the skills I need to get in Ruby so that I can move to a better job, or not a better job, but just a job that I would prefer to be in. And I did exactly that. The thing is, though, the joke is that they didn't make me a full-time member of staff. So after my probation, they were just like, yeah, it's not working out. Actually, what his exact words were, there's no easy way to say this, but you're fired. And when I asked why, he gave me a mix of contradictory, feedback. It wasn't really feedback, more of kind of just like, oh, you're lazy. Oh, you wanted a mentor. And just, like, weird things. It was like, I thought I was overambitious, right? So that happened. And I really, that job was just a really negative experience. And I was just kind of like, fine, I'm giving up on the industry. And that didn't happen. Enter my third job. And my third job was where I really, like, shone. I really excelled. And the imposter syndrome I felt here was less I don't belong and more can I do the thing? Right? And I think there is a difference, and I think there is a nuance. Like, do I have the skills and capacity to do the thing? And the reason that that shift happened is because my colleagues, my team, didn't make me feel like I didn't belong. Like, I didn't once go to work and feel like, ooh, I don't think I should be here. Now, could I have, quote unquote, been my authentic self? Hell no. Absolutely not. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I don't think I have to be my authentic self at work. But I also didn't feel like the self I brought to work was not welcome or not wanted or not thought that, you know, not thought that I could do the work, right? It was just me kind of thinking, can I do the work? Can I do the thing? Here they are trusting me with the experience. And it proved that I could. Like, I got 2 raises in my first 6 months there. And so it was just a really good experience, and it helped to all the experiences I had before that, and, you know, where the imposter syndrome was, like, impacted, it helped to relieve some of that just by having a super encouraging, super supportive, honest team around me really helped that. So in my fourth job now, I was at my last job for 2 years. In my fourth job, I'm contracting for an American company, and it's been a really, really rocky experience for me personally. It's just been a really rocky experience for me, to be honest with you. I came into the job not knowing any of the programming languages, and everybody knew that. I didn't lie or anything. Like, it was known fact that Lola doesn't know the programming languages or the frameworks we use here. So it was kind of, well, at least I thought, it was kind of understood that, you know, there'll be some learning curves. There'll be some time to just kind of like figure things out. And also another thing to note is that how one company uses a language in a framework can differ so drastically from the way another company uses a language in a framework, right? Like, it can be two totally different ways. So there was just, you know, learning the actual language and framework and also learning how it's used at this company. And it's just been a really, really, really difficult time for me. The last 4 months have just been really hard. And I am on annual leave this week. This is my first annual leave since I started. And for those of you who don't know what annual leave is, because Americans, vacation. And it has just let me kind of reflect, sit back and reflect. This annual leave has been also really hard because I've been thinking about work a lot. And I have had some really, really low moments, if I'm totally honest. Moments of just kind of like, you know what, maybe I'm actually not a very good engineer. Like, it feels like I have been a junior engineer for 4 years. And I know theoretically that that's just not true, because in my last job, I definitely I moved up from junior to like a lower mid level kind of thing, like a introductory mid. So like, I basically moved from junior to mid level in my last job. But it does feel like I've been a junior engineer for 4 years. I've been in this industry for 4 years. And it just, you know, I had moments this week where I was just like, maybe I shouldn't be here. Like, maybe I'm actually at the level I'm at simply because I'm not good. I'm not talented. I'm not getting the code. This is despite the fact that I have built web applications from scratch, from the ground up. This is despite the fact that I have learnt brand new frameworks and used them in like 2 weeks and under. This is besides the fact that, you know, I have made valid contributions. Even early on in my career, I was making contributions to open source code, and, you know, talkless of all the contributions I've made to the companies I've left behind me, right? Despite all of that, there are still moments where I kind of feel like maybe I'm just not good. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe the reason I'm having the really horrible experiences I'm having in this industry, maybe the reason I am, you know, the last 4 months has been really difficult for me is simply because I'm not good. And that's just not a great place to be in, especially when you're doing work that you enjoy doing. Like, I love coding. I really, really enjoy coding. And when you're doing work that you enjoy doing and you still feel like maybe you shouldn't be doing, I feel like maybe, yeah, no shade, but I feel like maybe this is what SoundCloud rappers feel like when everyone else is telling them that they're not, their raps aren't good, but they love it. But it's like, should I quit? Probably you should. But at the same time, you know, I think that a really good way to kind of get out of that mind frame, get out of that mentality is look at the facts. What have you done? What have I done? What have I contributed to? And I was talking to a friend yesterday night and kind of going through this stuff. And he was just basically like, nah, you are good. Like, he's a senior Android engineer. And he was just like, look at how much stuff you've taught me. Like, I taught him about SSL certificates. And so now he doesn't have to worry about SSL certificates anymore. He has explained some like really, I didn't do computer science. I did English literature and creative writing. So for me, computer science is a foreign language. He has explained bit masking to me. He has explained like concepts in Java to me that I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, I get it. And so for him, it's like, it's ridiculous that I even think what I think. But at the same time, it's for me, it's kind of like, okay, I just need to look at the facts. I have made really good contributions to this community technically, right? Whether it's building the whole of the Black Girl Tech website and currently rebuilding it, or at least refiguring out some things. And that includes like architecture planning and design. That includes like actually knowing front end and back end code. That includes working with multiple people, and just like loads of things it includes, right? And then the fact that I have built features and stuff. I couldn't think of a word, but I built stuff for other people. They've paid me for it and they've thought it was good. Like the only job where things didn't work out in a very negative way was my second job. My first job I left because I wanted to, they didn't fire me. And my second job, my third job, which was my last job, I was there for 2 years. And as I said, in my first 6 months there, I got 2 pay rises. And then in my, at my year, I got a 7K pay rise, which is not common, you know, because, and the only reason I got that 7K pay rise is because someone else headhunted me and they were like, nah, we want to keep you. And not to brag, not to boast, but sometimes you must just collect your accolades, man. Like, know what you can do. Other people recognize my work. Other people recognize what I can do. So even though the last 4 months have been rocky and bumpy or whatever, it's not about that. Like, okay, they were rocky, they were bumpy, but what can I do? What have I done? Even in the last 4 months, I have done stuff. And I think when you're going through that time of imposter syndrome, it's really, really important to just go back to a source of truth, to a fact. And whether that's you need to talk to somebody else who's going to like boost your ego a little bit and remind you, or it's just, you know, you keep a journal or a diary or a list of things that you've done, a list of accolades, just something you can go back to, you know, and be like, okay, I'm actually about it. Like, I'm about it. Like, I'm not just talk. I'm actually about it. So yeah, that's kind of like my kind of take on imposter syndrome, my experiences with it. And kind of just like the main takeaway is just remember to go back to the truth. Remember to go back to a source of truth, to a fact when things are getting difficult, and take a break. Into the next section of this podcast, which is In The Source, where I explain something technical. If there's anything you want me to explain, tweet me at Lost In The Source and I will give it my best shot. I don't know everything. Google is definitely my biggest help. So I will definitely try my bestest to explain. Today though, we're going to be looking at debugging and how to debug. I have been mentoring a friend of mine for on and off for about, I want to say, a year or just over a year. And something I realized, and even something I realized with myself as well, is that debugging can actually be quite difficult if you don't know what tools you have at your disposal. Starting this new job where the language is different, the frameworks are different, the debugging tools and methods are also different. Some are the same, but mostly are different. And just even getting your head around how to even fix or even understand a problem when a problem happens in your code can be a little bit tricky. So here are some tips and tricks that I lean on and that I think really, really, really help me personally. So the first thing I implore you to do, and this is going to sound really, really simple, and I'm not trying to be patronizing, but read the error message. It's simple, but it's something that I have skipped a lot, and the person who I was mentoring, he skipped a lot as well. And the reason for that is because as soon as you see error, 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 you panic. And so your first thing is to not even, you just see error and you panic and you just go back into the code and try and figure out what's happening, what's gone wrong. And, you know, of course, everything looks like it's going perfectly fine. Everything looks good, but it's not good, right? Reading the error message will tell you, if you are programming in a communicative language like Ruby, and even sometimes JavaScript, but not really, it will tell you what's going wrong. It will tell you there's an undefined variable. It will tell you if you've got a syntax error. It will tell you if you are, you know, expecting one data type and instead you've got another data type. It will let you know. It will tell you that your thing that you're using doesn't exist. It will let you know. Error messages are not there to scare. They are there to help. They are there to guide. They are there to let you know. They're just messages that let you know something's gone wrong and what's gone wrong, which of course helps you better debug and figure out what's going wrong in your application. Usually good error messages as well will tell you the line that's causing the error. So you can even narrow it down even more to the specific line that's causing your error message. So read your error message and also look for the line that's causing the error. Now, sometimes it may not be clear what line it's causing the error, or even if the line is specified, that line is fine and it's, you know, maybe a few lines above that's done something dodgy, right? Now, a good thing that I use here are debugging tools. Each language and each framework has their own debugging tools. I cannot attest to all of them. I can only attest to the ones and the things that I've used. In Ruby, a really, really good debugging tool is Pry. And you can, there are two gems, I think. One is Pry Bybug and one is just Pry. I can't remember the difference between two. There are a few nuances between them, but essentially they do the same thing, right? They allow you to put some code where you think you're going wrong. And when you run your server and you hit that method again, it will stop the whole thing. It will stop the server right there in the code. So you can kind of like inspect the code. You can check what the data is right there and then. And something similar to that in JavaScript is debugger. So you can put a what's called a debugger on the line you suspect is going wrong and refresh your page on the browser. This is for JavaScript, and it will stop right there. And again, you can go into the console and check what's your data is and what's going wrong, and it just allows you to inspect the code in a nicer way. Another way is a simple console.log. This is for JavaScript again. And this is, if you, for example, if you have a variable and you're not too sure what's in that variable and your error message is telling you what you think is in that variable is not in that variable, you can console log that variable. And when you go into your, when you right click in your browser and you hit inspect, and you see a little tab called console, and when you go into console, you will see whatever's in that variable. It would have printed it out to the console, it would have logged it to the console. So debugging tools are a really useful way to inspect the code while the operation is running. Yeah, so for Ruby it was Pry Bybug, for JavaScript is the debugger tool and the console log. For the debugger tool, you can actually do that you can do that by right clicking inspect, and then in sources you can actually see the list of files that get generated when you run the site, and you can find the line and debug. I may actually put like a little gif of that happening and put it on Twitter, just so you have like a visual, because that might be a little bit difficult to understand. The final thing I think is like super really important, and every time I talk about debugging, every time I talk about being an engineer, this is the one thing that I always make sure to mention: Google. You will have not been the first person to hit this error message. You will not have been the first person to hit this bug. Take the error message and just drop it in Google. Now, there may be some things that are unique to you, such as the name of the application that the error message will have and stuff like that. So try and be as generic as possible and take out unique things to yourself. But usually what will happen is you'll get a bunch of search results, or at least a few search results that, you know, have that error message in them, and also other people discussing the error message. So places like Stack Overflow, sometimes even Google forums, like different mailing lists and stuff will discuss the thing. Sometimes there'll be whole blog posts on this error message, and you can just find other people's solutions and you can test it out on yours, and also tweak the solutions to fit what you need. And also just read the code, read other people's code to find out what on earth they're doing, why they're doing it, and why it's applicable in their context, and if it's applicable in your context. So just to recap, the things you should do when you need to debug: you need to read the error messages, you need to find out what line is causing the error, and this can usually be done by simply reading the error message. You can use debugging tools such as Pry, Debugger, and console.log. And you can Google. And those are my four tips of debugging. There are obviously tons more. If you have any useful tips on how to debug, do share with me on Twitter at LostInTheSource. And I think it's time to wrap up. This episode is brought to you by Black Girl Tech. Black Girl Tech is a non-profit organization that aims to help diversify the tech industry by encouraging Black women and non-binary people to explore and learn technology. In the past, they've done that through free monthly workshops and scholarships, and in the future there's going to be so much more. So check out Black Girl Tech on Twitter at Black Girl Tech, check out Black Girl Tech on Facebook, Black Girl Tech, and check out Black Girl Tech on the web, blackgirl.tech. So that is it for episode one, season two. I'm going to be back in your ears in about 2 weeks, so I'm going to try and do a bi-monthly thing. No, that's not bi-monthly. Bi-weekly, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to try and do like a bi-weekly thing every 2 weeks. We'll see how long that lasts. But this time, I promise, I won't just abandon you. Thanks for listening. Follow at Lost in the Source on Twitter. And I will see you in 2 weeks.